Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
I gotta charge it. Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Okay.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And assalamu alaikum, dear believers. Welcome to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. We're here every Tuesday waiting to spend time with you. And we look forward to being here with you every week. I'm your host, Sister Manira Habil Uma. And as always, we will get started and open up our program correctly. And we open our program with Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Holy Quran, first in Arabic and then in English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladina Ananta Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim, Waladdallin. English? With the name of Allah, Most Gracious, Most Merciful. Praise be to Allah, Cherisher and Sustainer of the worlds, Most Gracious, Most Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. Thee that we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen. Alhamdulillah. Well, we thank you for tuning in and being with us this evening. And if you are just joining us, we have been presenting from the book and the topics based on the topics in the book by Dan Griffin. And that book is entitled A Man's Way Through. This is a book written by men for a man and dealing with a man's perspective on trauma and addiction. And it's an important work. And the exact title of the book is A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved. And again, the author is Dan Griffin. And his premise in the book is that men have been indoctrinated since they were young boys by a set of rules he identifies as man rules. And these rules are counterproductive and counterintuitive when it comes to being in a relationship with others, with other men, and especially in relationships with women. And so he looks at how to overcome these rules and to become what I will coin as a natural man, a man who's not bound by the man rules given in Western society. And what he uses in his book are the 12 steps, the 12 steps recovering from addiction. But we are using for this program the 12 steps Islami. And these are the Islamic 12 steps that deal with recovery from addiction and trauma. Addiction is trauma. So what we're focusing on is not on addiction. We're focusing on trauma, recovering from trauma, the small traumas. The author identifies in the book the difference between a large trauma and a small trauma. And a large trauma is a huge event that occurs and then it ends. Small trauma are small traumas that happen over a long period of time, as in chattel slavery, and then Jim Crow, institutional oppression, things that we have been going through for hundreds of years. They have created small traumas for us. And small trauma can be embedded deeply in the subconscious, and it can be in the genes as well. So recovery process, this is definitely a process for healing. The 12 steps that we are suggesting, it's a recovery process for healing from trauma and addiction, for reestablishing the life that Allah would have us to live. Okay, so this is what we have been working on for close to 2 months now, and presenting from this material, and also including our Islamic references in the presentations. And one other item that we did present in a prior show, which I want to just go over again, we identified that man rules have changed somewhat over time. But we looked at the street rules, street culture, and what rules are young children being taught in today's time, okay? Back in the day when I was growing up, mostly, back in the 50s, 60s, even in the 70s, you know, the man rules were still active, and the man rules were five of them, basically. Don't be weak. Don't show emotion. Don't ask for help. Don't cry. Don't care about relationships. Now, even though these rules may not have been taught to boys directly, it was also in the environment. It was also in the environment, and they were taught. It was a part of our cultural experience, part of our cultural experience. And so we looked at what is a part of our children's cultural experience in this day and time. So we read an article, and it outlines street rules that affects our young people's cultural experience. And there were eight of them. And number one was respect, to be respected, and to have respect for the street rules, social space and neighborhood. Okay, so you have these boundaries of social space and neighborhood. There is an enemy who you protect these boundaries from. Okay, and then there's toughness, the need to be tough. And there are symbols to identify those in particular associations. And there are friends, who your friends are. Then there's street wisdom. And number eight in this article was violence. I want to add one thing to this rule to make it nine, and that was don't snitch. This don't snitch policy that was introduced into the street rules. And then later on in the show, we added to the man rules. We found more items to add to the man rules, which were always be in control, don't be vulnerable, be a sexual superman, be right, always win, don't trust anyone, be stoic and cool. Not all men were taught these rules or were experienced these through cultural practices. But these rules were present and have been present in Western society. The author's premise is men navigate these rules that they have been taught and indoctrinated with all of their life, and then they try to get into relationships where they need to be in a healthy relationship. They need to be able to let go of control, share feelings, ask for help, be vulnerable, practice intimacy, honesty, to compromise, to trust, to provide safety and to be safe, and to communicate. So the author explores through the chapters how the man rules and the societal rules that men have been taught in Western society work against healthy relationships, and how that has to change, and how men have to redefine men as males in heterosexual relationships so that we can have, or they can have, healthy, happy relationships. Okay? So this is what we have been exploring for just about 2 months now, right here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. Last week, we went over Chapter 5, which was Creating Healthy Relationships. And I'm going to welcome in our co-host, who's with us today and with us every week. So we are thankful to Allah for having Sister Bina Muhammad Dia with us, and we welcome her to the show and extend to her the greetings of peace of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. We thank you for being here with us this evening. And she's, since she's been co-host, she's here always, unless she's traveling somewhere around the world. Okay. So all praise to Allah. So, Bina, is there anything you wanted to speak about in the recap from last week?
Oh, wow. You've done an excellent job talking about what we've been talking about for, like you say, almost 2 months or maybe more. It's this whole idea of spending so much time on trauma when it comes to courtship and marriage that is relevant. It's totally necessary because when we talk about the trauma that we've experienced, it just comes out from, well, it comes out in our relationships, and we don't always know where it's coming from. And, you know, the effects you mentioned that we had in terms of slavery and the years and years and years of the effects after slavery, that it's just trauma upon trauma upon trauma and just layers upon layers upon layers. It's just, it's a wonder that, you know, we're striving and surviving and continue to survive. It's Allah's mercy that we have good relationships, that we have people who've been in relationships. Like I was speaking with a client of mine today, 40 years in a relationship. And, you know, that's a lot for people who have been oppressed that way. That's a big achievement to say that you've been married that long. And, you know, to know that because it's Allah's will. It's Allah's will that it happens, that even with everything that has been put on us, we still are able to go on. And it brings me to mind the Imam's book, and when he's speaking about the whole thing about after difficulty and the things that we have to deal with and how we have to look at them as a part of what Allah's qadr is. And we can't harp on that, on the path. We can learn from it. We can understand. We can look at it and see this is what happened, but know that Allah is our protector, our creator, our guide, our mercy. And the fact that we're here, that we should continue to go on and make it better. So, inshallah. And trauma is a big part of it. So, understanding that, you know, we can, like the author said, we can't change what men think, but we can change what we think about men because of these experiences, and have empathy and kindness and concern about the things that they've gone through in terms of our relationships, and being able to look at them in that aspect and look at the best in them, knowing that we are we are not all perfect is the message I think that he was making with that statement. So alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
It's a blessing that we're able to talk about that whole situation with trauma.
And in dealing with and recovering from trauma, what we are identifying that is a great process to use, and it's not, we're not saying it's the process, but it's a great process to use, are the 12 steps presented by Melati Islami. And when we read over these 12 steps, we find that many of us do practice these or have practiced these 12 steps, even in engaging in our religion. But not only that, our religion also has helped us heal from trauma, of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and the proper worship of our Lord has helped us to heal from trauma, in addition to submitting our whole selves to our Lord and keeping away from harmful conduct that would add any additional trauma has given us time to heal. And another thing we discovered or that we spoke about is that prayer is healing even on the physical level, that when we pray, the brain creates brand new neurons. Prayer is healing. So praying 5 times a day minimum and more if we are doing our sunna prayers, but prayer in itself is healing. So we've adopted practices as believing people that have helped us heal from trauma. So all praise is due to Allah for Allah blessing us with al-Islam and this religion and our practices that are good for the human being, liberating and healing at the same time. So last week, what we said we would do is that each week we will read over, while we're on this topic, read over these 12 steps. And we encourage you to download them online and even make copies and pass them out to people if possible. And to look at this as a process for healing and acknowledging that we need to heal from all that we have gone through and even our ancestors have gone through. So we are going to read again at the beginning of this show. And we'll read that right after we come back from our public service announcements, okay? It's time for us to play our PSAs. So we'll read those 12 steps for you when we come back. Inshallah. So you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage here on AM 360 with your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we're here every Tuesday right here on American Muslim 360, number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Please stick and stay with us, and we'll be right back with you after these public service announcements.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
families, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, and we are back. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage, and we thank you for being here with us this evening. And we look forward to your participation in this program. Any wisdom that you share will be shared with future generations because these shows are archived and preserved as a reference for those who come behind us, inshallah. So we'll get started with our second segment. And what we'll do is read the 12 steps from the Milati Islami World Services as we get started. And I'll get started with the first 6 steps, and then Sister Bina can come in and finish those up, inshallah. So number 1 is that we admit it and admit that we were neglectful of our higher selves and that our lives have or had become unmanageable. Alhamdulillah, when we seek Allah's help, we ask Allah in the dua that Imam gave to us, you know, O Allah, please don't let us manage this life without you. Or attempt to manage this life without Allah. Number 2, we came to believe that Allah could and would restore us to sanity. We came to believe that Allah could and would restore us to sanity. Number 3, we made a decision to submit our will to the will of Allah, to submit our will to the will of Allah. Number 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves that requires honesty to look within and see who we are, what is our moral character. Number 5, we admitted to Allah and to ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. Again, requiring honesty. Number 6, asking Allah for right guidance, we became willing and open for change, ready to have Allah remove our defects of character. Alhamdulillah. So those are the first 6 of the 12 steps. So you can see that many of us have used some of these steps even in transitioning and becoming Muslim, and we continue to do it. maybe not deliberately, but these are steps that we continue to do in the practice of our deen. Okay? So, Sister Bina, you want to pick up on number 7?
Yes, number 7. Bismillah. We humbly ask Allah to remove our shortcomings. Number 8, we make a list of persons we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Number 9, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. I think about that particular one, and we don't even know all the time when we might have hurt someone unless they say so. So especially when before we become conscious of who we are, of Muslims, sometimes we, and even times afterwards, we don't really know if we've offended someone, and that's one of the reasons that we always say, if we've offended someone, please forgive us. Number 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. That's ongoing and forever. Number 11, we sought through salat or prayer and ikra or reading and studying to improve our understanding of taqwa, love and respect for Allah, the proper love and respect for Allah, and ihsan, which is ihsan being, though we cannot see Allah, He does see us, and we should do everything knowing that Allah is present. Number 12, having increased our level of iman, our faith, and taqwa, or realizing that Allah is always and forever present, and our respect for Allah, as a result of applying these steps, we carry this message to humanity and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Alhamdulillah.
I feel like saying Ameen after that.
Ameen, yes.
Yes.
Seriously. You know, and so it's definitely a process. It's a process. And I would like to almost call it a prescription. But it's a guideline. And some things we can set small goals on and work on one at a time, you know, to help us improve, help us overcome trauma. And the small trauma, and to become stronger and stronger. And you can see that the character building process, that it's will be a byproduct of working these 12 steps and going through them and working on ourselves, because we want to build good character, strong character, good manners and personality. You're looking to share your life with someone. You're looking to become a husband or a wife. You want to bring the best version of yourself to the relationship, to Allah. And this is what we do here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. How can we retrace our steps, learn what we need to learn, so that we can have healthy, lasting relationships, not breaking up, not divorcing, but building good, strong, solid relationships. Because one thing is for sure, at no point in our life have we ever been without a relationship. We have had a relationship at every point of our existence. So it behooves us to become good at relationships, to understand relationships, how relationships affect us so that we can make wise choices and marry well and continue the building process, because this will affect the community life, and this is how we build and make a positive contribution to the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So last week, we went over chapter 5 of titled Creating Healthy Relationships. Creating Healthy Relationships. And this week, we're going to go over number 6, which is staying in healthy relationships. Staying in healthy relationships. And if you have any questions
actually,
or comments.
We did touch down on in chapter 6. Mm-hmm. We did get into that as well. And what's good, because in that chapter he had mentioned, you know, about some of what women's rules were. And and he had a couple of take action situations. And that's where we learned about that spiritual axiom that was in chapter 6.
Okay. All right. Well, let's finish up chapter 6. And then we'll see what time we have left and if we can go any further in the presentation this evening. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, again, my Kindle is not working. My electronics are really acting up since I've been up here in Chicago. I don't
are
know
you
what's
still
going
there?
On.
Yeah, wow.
Still here. I'll be going back home soon, in about a week and a half, inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah.
Yeah, but it's been a very productive trip. Yeah, so I feel very good about the time. Alhamdulillah. It was well worth it.
So, I mean, just recapping a little bit of the chapter 6, is where he talked about 1 + 1 = 3 and how he set that out. He says that two people plus the relationship make 3 instead of 1, you know, instead of the whole idea of the man comes to the relationship as one half and the woman comes to the relationship as one half and then they make 1. So he says, no, that's not how anyone should come to a relationship. They should come whole to it. And he mentioned this spiritual axiom after he talked about his situation where he decided not to cry anymore. And he says, well, you know, he decided at 15 he would not ever cry, and how that brought so much damage to his relationships over a 25-year period. He made that decision at 15 years old. Can you imagine? I mean, yes, well, at 15, that is a time that, you know, it suggested you're adolescent, pretty much pre-adolescent. And so you should know some things by then. So at that age, he decided he wouldn't cry, but it just became overbearing to him at one point, and he broke down in front of his wife. He broke down in front of his daughter, and his wife explained to him, his daughter, how dad was just sad, and she wanted to cheer her dad up, and she got this book that was about butterflies and the change of caterpillars to butterflies, and it kind of had him reflect over the changes and the stages that he had been going through in his relationships. And he thought that was, well, it was very significant, and Allah is always there and showing something to us. It's not a coincidence, there for a reason. And then afterwards, we talked about, let's see, just the changing how we think about men, because we can't change them overnight or anything like that, but we can change the way we think about them. So basically that was all in chapter 6, and that was pretty much the end of that chapter. He mentioned that that he was not totally cured at that point, that he had this breakdown and this epiphany, but he's always working on it. And that ended that chapter.
Okay. So what was the premise for how to stay in a healthy relationship? The name of that chapter is Staying in Healthy Relationships.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that in a moment. We'll give you a chance to find that portion of that chapter and see what did he actually have to say about staying in healthy relationships. Now, we all know, while Ben is looking for that information, that to stay in any relationship is going to take a level of commitment and work to stay in a relationship, to be to make a firm decision that this is the relationship that we have chosen. It's up to us to make this relationship work. And we, with Allah's help, will be successful. And another thing we did talk about last week is that we, as believers, we come together and we create something that's bound by a contract. So a third entity is created, and that is the relationship itself. A man and a woman come together and create a relationship, a contractual relationship, which we call marriage. And marriage is an institution established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So out of obedience to Allah, we come together and form this relationship. Well, then who is the owner of the relationship? Allah is the owner of the relationship. We come together with witnesses and proclaim that we are married, and we've created a third. This is our third. The relationship or the institution. We are now a part of the institution established by Allah. Living a married life, a family life where children are born. Families are acculturated and taught about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taught about the religion, Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, taught manners, taught all the good things in life that would make them successful and that would, inshallah, bless them to be strong believers in faith. So something has been created, and we have to identify what has been created. And we are now a part of this institution that Allah has created. So Allah is over the marriage. Allah is over the institution. It's Allah's marriage. And we seek Allah's help with it. Okay? So staying in healthy relationships for us fundamentally is going to mean that we have to know that this is Allah's marriage and that we have an obligation to do all that we can to make this marriage work, to make this marriage what Allah would have it to be, a place of peace and tranquility, a place of security, and all of the adjectives that Allah describes for us in the Holy Quran of what our homes and our marriages should be, that's what we are creating, that's what we are practicing, that is the goal that we have. So staying in healthy relationships, that's going to be one big item for us, is to recognize that this is Allah's relationship. The same with our children. But we don't own them. Allah has given them to us as a duty. They're Allah's creation. They're Allah's creation, and we do the best we can to raise them and to discharge our duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. But everything is on loan to us. So, and we are responsible for the task that Allah has given to us, whether it's a husband or a wife or the child or what we do in the community. We are responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I just wanted to outline that from an Islamic perspective on how we stay in healthy relationships after choosing wisely, after choosing from making istikhara prayer with Allah's guidance and choosing wisely, how do we now stay in healthy relationships? So from an Islamic perspective, I just wanted to add that. Okay. Dina, did you find anything in the chapter from the author?
Oh, yeah. So he was mentioning that how does it serve him? Okay, he talks about in the relationship that maybe I should read it instead of just paraphrasing what he has to say.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay. There are no easy answers, but I cannot stress enough that the value of good couples counseling before making any final decision. If you find yourself in this position, don't believe the BS out there that says it is automatically the man's fault. Believe that you have a right to have an emotionally available partner. She or he may need more evidence in order to have faith that your recovery is real. Rest assured, however, that you do not need to be held hostage by your partner for your past. Once you have sincerely made amends, taken responsibility for your behavior, and begun to change your behavior, your penance is done. Either your partner begins to make an effort to heal and trust again, or you get to make the choice as to what is best for you and your recovery. And then he just offers some into action things to do.
Okay. All right. So he's saying to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
To do the work to make make anything successful, it's going to take work. Whether it's a business, a project, it takes work. It takes finding solutions, finding answers, going back to the drawing board, retweaking, reengaging. To make any endeavor successful, it involves management of it and work to make it successful. Marriage is no different. And marriage, the work in marriage, is ongoing. You're always tweaking, always looking, checking, seeing what can be done to improve. And Sister Bina read an item last week that I thought was very useful, that you check in with your husband or your wife. And ask them, what am I doing well? Give me three things that I'm doing well. And then give me three things which I can improve on. You know? And you're asking this question of your husband or your wife, so it won't come off as a criticism. Genuinely asking, what three things can I improve on? Because your intention is to improve and to have constant improvement and to make things better. Okay? That's a very healthy, holistic way to communicate. And it's also very good to hear what you're doing well and you know that a person has really noticed these things, has really noticed these things about you. So that's always, that's very good for the relationship too. Okay, so it's going to involve some work, and it's going to involve some time, and it's going to involve some commitment. And many times, running away and throwing up our hands, now that's just it, you know, this is over, you know. Well, if it's a lost relationship, shouldn't Allah let you know that when it's over? And before you say that it's over, shouldn't there have been work done to do everything that you can possibly do for the marriage to be successful before call it quits and just throw the hands up and say, this is over? What would the state of marriage be if everyone did that? You know, an unpleasant situation or unpleasant conversation happens and you say, oh, this is over. We're done. You go your way, I'll go mine. How counterproductive is that to Allah's institution? So most marriage contracts that I have seen, and I was looking around for them when I was getting married to Brother DeLacy Uma in Melbourne, Florida, and I found that the marriage contracts that I saw, the templates that I saw, do have a clause in them that stipulates that in the event a problem or an issue arises, that the couple follows the conciliations outlined in our religion, meaning there's a system, there's a format to it. And one is to getting people from both sides to come together to help solve the dispute. That was one. Consulting with the imam or the local Islamic leadership for counseling and guidance, that was two. And of course, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking guidance from our Holy Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad was three. But then if none of this is working and this situation is firm for divorce, then that even has to be followed as outlined in the Holy Quran and prior to calling it quits. So there has to be work done even prior to calling it quits to make sure that you have done and discharged your duty to each other and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and done everything that you can to salvage and save this relationship and save the marriage. So it's no quick exit from marriage. And we should not adopt customs and principles to make it that way. It's not meant to be something that you exit quickly. So all praises to Allah. You're dealing with a human life, intellect, soul, heart, mind, spirit, and that of the whole family as well. So it's not meant to have a quick exit. Okay? And we'd love to hear your thoughts. If you have any thoughts on anything that we've said so far, we'd love to hear from you. We're approaching the top of our second hour, and we are going to be taking a pause for the calls. And you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We're going to ask you to stick and stay with us, and we'll be right back with you after these public service announcements.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Our Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
Join us every Monday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time for an episode of Optimal Health with your host, Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptometry health coach and doctoral student at the American School of Symptometry. It is our aim and objective every week on am360.org to enlighten health-conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. Planet Earth is well known in symptometry as an echo chamber of illusion and a testing ground with booby traps everywhere. Come join us each week to learn about these booby traps that cause health to be denied. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in to listen to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet us at cwshura. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit our parent corporation, Community-Wide Shura's Conference, at cwsc.us or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. You are listening to AM360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
Join us for Muslim American Power 5 on Mondays, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Muslim American Power 5, referred to as MAP5, featuring Sister Amatullah Sabri, Sister Cheryl Sadi, and Brother Fleming Alamein. That's Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for MAP, Muslim American Power 5.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. And if you're just tuning in, again, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Umar, and our co-host is with us, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. So prior to the break, we were talking about staying in healthy relationships and seeing what the author had to say about that topic. But some other ways we can stay in healthy relationships is to makes a lot together. Because, you know, you may work or have different schedules. You may not be able to make all of your salats together. But target the salats that you know you can make together, whether it's Fajr and Salat of Isha, you know, making salat together and then making dua for each other and for the marriage and the relationship and the family and making prayer together definitely helps us to stay in healthy relationships and to keep the relationship healthy and a pleasant reminder that this is Allah's relationship, alhamdulillah, and we both come to Allah as servants. Okay, so keeping our perspectives healthy in our deen, definitely making prayer together is one of them. And another thing that some couples do is during the month of Ramadan, to work for the marriage. You know, we can't argue or get in these heated debates or anything during our blessed month of Ramadan. So use that time to really make extra prayers and fasting together to help strengthen the relationship. And, you know, ask Allah's blessings and his mercy on the relationship as well. Okay? And another big item is never, ever, ever stop dating. Never stop dating or courting. You get married, and that's not the end. That's not the end of it because you're married. But being married has allowed you to be in the same space legally and to have lawful sexual contact with each other. But you're still discovering each other and learning each other in this space. And this is an ongoing process. So always continue to keep courting, to keep dating. It's also a good idea to have a date night. Have a date night once a week or twice a week or however many times a week you like. Yeah. And I would like to suggest as well to go over these 12 steps pertaining to your relationship and pertaining to your to each other to see how can I be more of a support for my husband and my husband looking to see how he can be more of a support for me to improve on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, to improve on Allah's path, to become a better husband, a better wife, to help with this work. How can I assist? You know, how can I lessen the stress in my husband's life? How can he lessen the stress in mine? How can we help? How can we assist each other? How can we make sharing our lives more fulfilling? You know, as we are continuing on this path of being a married couple, you know, ask yourself, is there something missing? Is there something missing? And just make those observations. Take an inventory of self and relationships to see what areas need work, what areas can we improve on. And one thing that I've noticed in being married to my husband, DeLacy, is that when the brothers go out, they were going out for these luncheons and sitting in the restaurant, eating and talking about things as men and everything, he really found a lot. It was a very joyful experience for him to do that. You know, so things that bring, if you see something that brings your husband or your wife joy, incorporate that into the schedule. incorporate those things into the schedule so that there'll be more of that in the life. Or they need just some time, individual time. And you see that they come back refreshed and it's good for the spirit and it's good for the mind. Incorporate those things. But these things take observation on our parts, looking to see what's working, what's not working, what is adding to all of the good elements of the relationship and what is detracting and taking away from it. Leave off the things that are detracting and taking away from the relationship and add more of all the things that are improving and making the relationship better. You know, so again, takes observation and work to continue to tweak and continue to maintain a relationship. Travel. Take vacations. Travel together. Get away. Create beautiful memories. Check and see what the interests are. What are the hobbies? What music is liked? What books are liked? All of these things add to the quality of life for everyone in the family. When marriages work, we create a garden. We create a garden and a slice of heaven right within our home, within our homes, at our home address. At our home address, that's what we're about, creating a space that, you know, is a slice of paradise for us. All right? So staying in healthy relationship means working to keep the relationship healthy. And that's going to take some observation and work on our part. Was there anything else that the author might have said about how we can stay in healthy relationships? I would think that one thing that he might make a reference to in the book is to stay in touch with your 12 steps and your team, and to have that exchange that has been a part of the recovery process.
Well, he didn't really say that. Maybe he'll say that towards the end of the book, but actually he just offers some into action things to do at this point.
Okay, well, let's go over those.
Okay. He says, think of a past relationship you were in. Look at it from the perspective of both formulas, 1/2 + 1/2 = 1, and 1 + 1 = 3. On one side of the paper at the top, write the first formula. On the second side of the paper at the top, write the second formula. For each formula, write about how your past relationship met those criteria. So he's really giving you something to think about and to look over. Next he says, imagine you are in your ideal relationship. What would a complete partner look like to you? Write it out with as much detail as possible. And then the third thing he says is, think about your current or a past relationship and times where you wanted to run. What was happening in the relationship at that time? What were some of the ways you ran away from your partner emotionally, spiritually, and physically? So those were the three things that he suggested to do into action.
Okay.
Which I think were very good. I mean, it makes a person think about, really think about it, and if they're being honest, as you say, really thinking about what did happen in the relationship, because Sometimes when people look at that, they can see that there's a pattern. They might not want to admit it, but they can see that there might be a pattern there. And then they can look at things that they can do differently going forward.
Oh, okay. Okay. So protecting your relationship is also going to keep it healthy. If boundaries are set by two people, a husband and a wife in a relationship, those boundaries should be respected, you know. An example of some boundaries may be, you know, don't share our financial information with family or friends. Just as an example. If that's a boundary that's set in a relationship, then boundaries should be kept, all right? Or, you know, don't let certain people in the home when I'm not home. Boundaries, whatever boundaries you agree on, should be kept and sustained in a relationship to protect the health of the relationship. So continuing our journeys of introspection, getting to know ourselves is very, very important as well. Staying in touch with self and getting to know yourself and seeing where you are on this journey, you know, and what you'd like to improve on and things of that nature. That's very important because we never want to stop growing. We never want to stop learning, okay, because we want to have new things to share in relationships so the relationship won't get stale. So continuing to invest in our development is very important. Okay, and doing the work to communicate and stay on top of things. We have vehicles, right? We have cars, and we get an email from Jiffy Lube. Oh, time for your next oil change. You know, things that they call preventive maintenance. Preventive maintenance. What would your preventive maintenance look like on your relationship? You know, we really haven't had time to sit and really just talk to each other like we used to. We used to talk for hours and hours, and we don't do that anymore. We don't have time for that. That should be on your list for preventive maintenance. Make time for just the husband and wife to sit and talk for hours if need be, to communicate and to share, you know. But we don't do things together anymore, go places like we used to, go to museums, go to hear different speakers that may be coming to your area, and look for things that may be of interest to get out and explore and do things with other people. And sometimes, you know, you may miss those couples who were with you during the process of Nika. Say, well, we haven't had dinner with them in quite a while. Let's invite them out to dinner and go out with them. Okay? So what is your preventive maintenance like? Right? And one thing that we have to always remember in a relationship, there are two people sharing their lives. And I'll go over what we have to remember about that as soon as we listen to our caller. We have a caller in the queue, and we're going to go to 706-627. Assalamu alaikum to you. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Just basically just being a good mirror and a soundboard. You know, when we listen to what you're describing, it sounds like a human being who is lost, like Allah tells in Surah Asr. Only when you hear the word Allah or something of the Islamic vernacular, then that person has a moment of focus. And then they seem to go back to the influence of the education or the life that they came from before they became a conscious human being trying to put his or her will into the will of the Creator. Because most of the time when someone is listening to what we say to each other and how we talk together, if we really look, we look like people who are lost, but they have a Christian, American influence on them, competing with the reality of what commitments they have made to their Creator. Because we are workers, and a lot of things you're saying, it does happen. But to a rooted relationship, chaperone in the name of Allah, with seeking refuge from the shaitan, with Allah, we see a different character. We see a different human being who we're talking about. We tend to don't realize that we give the image to each other. And then anyone who is not of the Islamic faith, they see us still as a Negro, a black person. When they hear us talk and describe scenarios and things that human beings go through, they see that's the way we were before we became Muslim. And then when we give them a Muslim definition of a word, or they hear us say it, and we give them, when we come back to that consciousness, and give them straight out the Quran definition or a life example of Prophet Muhammad definition or one of our learned realities that we have instilled in ourselves and have in our faith, then they see the split personality that we have. You know, because a Muslim family, a Muslim married couple, a young Muslim male and female who's come up in a pretty well define Islamic environment with a chaperone, a wali, parents have spent a lot of time at the masjid, the parents spend a lot of their intellect, their money or whatever that's over and above what they need to sustain themselves is spent on the way of establishing this model community they hear us talk about. Because as a male, if our women And our young people are that confused about relationships after being raised up from the time they have been 2 years old to start knowing what Allah said, what Prophet Muhammad exemplified, but women who we describe when we are conscious, you know, and explaining them some of the Islamic women of history, the Islamic men of history, and the relationships that are explained in the seerah of the prophet of how to do this, how to courtship. It's a different picture. And we don't see it except when we I guess you would say commercializing or we having a conscious remember of what we're going through. Because we see, as long as we're in the dunya, or under this influence of our past, or the influence of Christianity, because we live in the United States of America, if we don't pay attention to our environment, yes, men and women, even if they are Muslim, men and women, if they are good Christians, if they are any type of men and women who believe in God, they're going to have this serious jihad trying to live this unknowingly double life. You know, what they were before they became a Muslim, and what they're striving to be as a Muslim, you know, but they have not established their belief. We have to remember Allah says, until we reach a certain development of sincerity and actually involved in working to encourage each other, to stay focused on trying to develop ourselves to start developing our share of the dunya and create a halal environment, so that people will really see what Al-Islam is doing to us when we came from being a Chinese, or we came from being a black American or Chinese. And when they see us embrace Al-Islam and they see our bringing the good manners and bringing the things that we learn from wherever into Al-Islam, but they still see a different level of a person, this peace. They don't have the type of struggle, striving that we are trying to help people to understand. The best way to do it is for them – to see our Islamic life here in America, to see this model community that when we're doing conscious conversation with each other, you know, and we do conscious work, because it's confusing to them. It's confusing to our children.
Can I ask you a question?
It's very, very.
Yes.
It's very confusing to our children.
So you're in Virginia, is that correct?
No, ma'am. I'm in Columbus, Georgia, but I have lived in Richmond, Norfolk, Virginia, all those different states.
Yes, sir.
And raised my kids in those states. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When any of these people who would look at us in this way, if they come to our masjid, what would they find when they look at our families, the single brothers and the single sisters in the family? Are we at a high percentage rate of married families, or is it low?
Yeah, when they come to our masjid, according to what state they're in and what court and size of the masjid they're in, they will see that we are distracted with the world that they're coming from. They see that we are still distracted and more engaged in the outside world of al-Islam than the inside, because they won't see a lot of youth. They might see Muslims really not speaking or showing that special feeling we're supposed to have, especially when we're in Allah's house, and they be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're trying to see what we were telling them verbally, they're trying to see the actual facts of it, you know. And like I said again, it's quarter what masjid they go. Now, if they go to a real, real big masjid in a big city, they will see a busy bunch of people being distracted and have personal thoughts, personal goals, and they just there out of tradition. They're not there.
Okay, well,
Allah
is the best knower of that.
Faith.
Yeah,
ma'am.
But let's look at this. And the current statistics as for 2022, more than 50%, 51.2% of all African American children lived with only one parent in the homes. Okay, so when you say that we speak as if we have lost, well, we have lost the value for the sanctity of family life and married life. And this is what we are trying to reclaim and reignite and re-educate ourselves on the importance of it. So the truth is the truth as far as our state of affairs go. Most masjids, you'll go there, you'll find a lot of single sisters who are not married, okay? And you'll find brothers in the masjid as well who are not married, older brothers who are not married, okay? So we have lost the idea of the importance of being married. How is it important for us to be married, okay? And it's not something that we look at and say, oh, I don't have to do that. This is how Allah created us. This is the design, the pattern that Allah has created us on, the community pattern, the pattern of being husband and wives and doing this work together. So this is why we address these things on the show. And also, the show is not just for Muslim audience. It's for the outer audience, too. So the Islamic concepts that are that we speak of are in a language where it can be understood by Muslim and non-Muslim. So we definitely have issues to address, and we definitely have something to gain back, and that is that we've lost our way of, when it comes to the sanctity and the importance of family life.
Yeah, that was a very important statement that you made when you listened to it. See, we fail to realize that here in the United States of America, and I guess that doesn't really matter what community you're on, what religious community you're in. You are not following the prioritize that your creator has told you to. We have not saved our own soul first. But already we are trying to save our loved ones who might not be Muslim, might not even think about being a Muslim. And that takes away so much time from us saving our own soul first to where we be a model of what we're telling them. So what they see is lip service without deeds and action only in some areas. Otherwise, when they see a split personality. They see you or us. We're about 40% Muslim. And then the rest of the time, whatever our character or whatever our identity was, we are catering to that, and we're trying to bring it all together. But see, we don't realize it in Islam. That's really fornicating. Because you're trying to make a Muslim intellect, heart, emotion, give compassion and other things to a non-Muslim situation, and you haven't saved your own soul yet. You haven't established being a Muslim, coming from Muslim to Muslim. You haven't established your belief yet that you are slate clean. You are now trying to strive to put your will in the will of Allah so that we can be rewarded by Allah with faith. When we reach that, and then when you get that, you are obligated to do dawah then because you are a perfect example of what you're telling someone. And they can see you. They can see you not being blending into their reality in trying to save them. We're not saviors. We're workers, and building up a new reality that we have to first do it for our own self first. And the whole Muslim world, even though it's going on 14 and 43 years, there is no place on the earth that we can say is an Islamic country, is an Islamic community. Because most of them, if they're not in, if they're in Saudi Arabia, that's an artificial community because they have a king.
I understand your point.
Remember, this is what a non-Muslim sees. It's very important that we understand that the people we reach it out to.
Look.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. They see that.
Yes.
And they're not dumb. They're educated.
Yes, they are. And we have to always keep this in mind as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites people to the path, just like we were invited to the path to throw up for Mr. Kim, and Allah blessed us to be Muslim. That's continuing to happen today, okay? And that
now,
there's
no
intercessor.
Right.
And everybody will come to Islam with a personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not solely based on what they see of other people and what other people are doing. So Allah is in control, and Allah is protecting the religion, and more people are accepting al-Islam every day. Our numbers are growing worldwide every day. So alhamdulillah, inshallah, we pray that our imams can talk about marriage more and help those who see what can be done to encourage marriage among those who are not married in the community centers and masjids, and we can do this work together, inshallah. We can help each other in that way. But we thank you for calling in. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yeah, could I have one more minute? Just 1 minute?
Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Excuse me. If we remember, everyone who is now where we are, it came from our calling to Allah for help. Allah answers the dua of anybody, any human being, regardless of what he or she or type of influence they have. And people who you see coming to this deen are people who have cried to Allah, and they have reached the sincerity of their crying to Allah for help, wanting to know the truth or whatever the problem is. So he invites them to the opportunity to bear witness to that. And he gives them a responsibility of being his servant as long as they follow the guidelines that he gives them in the basic five pillars, the article of faith, following the example of Prophet Muhammad. And as long as we do that, we will continue to grow and be a model example of one who depends solely upon their creator helping them in this reality that we are in. We have to understand why people come to al-Islam. They come because they were crying for help, and Allah helped. I came to al-Islam because I was trying to get out of the the same stuff that we're still trying to get out, and Allah answered by du'as. In code.
Yes.
During the month of Ramadan, Allah asks everybody and tells everybody, this is a month where I make all of everything come down to the list to hear your du'a. And I will answer it. But we never ask Allah to get rid of shaitan. We never ask Allah to get rid of the things that are really holding us up, disunity. We don't pray and ask Allah for the help that we need because we are distracted. We don't want to cut loose to doing it like he tells us. Or we don't know how to yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't have
a model example. We appreciate your comments.
Yes, ma'am.
We appreciate your comments.
Give me an opportunity to.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you again for calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum.
Mm-hmm. Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay. All right. We're at the bottom of our second hour. We are going to take a short pause for the calls. So we're going to invite you to stick and stay. And we'll be right back after these quick public service announcements.
Assalamu alaikum. That is the peace that only Almighty God can give be upon you. And that peace obligates us to keep the peace and promote the peace. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Join us Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to you being with us, joining our guests from inside the Islamic community as well as outside, those men and women who are community builders. And also periodically on Thursday evenings, we have open mic where you become our guest. So join us for more of Not Just Talk, conversations related to community building. Again, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Join me, Latifa A. Hameen, and Aliyah Abdul Rahman every Friday for another segment of the CWSC Friday Roundtable from 8 a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our guests are partners of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and are making a difference in the community. Join us. We look forward to it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back, and you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage with your host, Munira Habil Ummah, and our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. We do have another caller in the queue, so we'll go to our caller at 267-258. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear beloved sister. Alhamdulillah, and the listening audience. This is Rahima from Pennsylvania. Alhamdulillah. So that was very interesting, listening, first of all, to you, Zaina, and in some of the comments of our brother, but I think we can't lump everybody in the same boat because there's
yes.
some very thriving communities where people are recognizing as soon as they come to the door that there is some sense of great unity and a special bond that they want to be a part of. And so mm-hmm. we have a lot of shahadas taking place in Philadelphia. So, you know, praise be to Allah. It depends on your perspective and how you perceive things are happening. And I think that it's so important for us to put the best thought out, not about what mm-hmm. we ain't doing, but what we are doing. And
yeah.
inshallah, as you were stating, About 2 weeks ago, I had spoken to the imam that had gave the khutbah, and I said, I thought you was going to talk about marriage the way your lecture was going, the way your khutbah was going. He said, oh, man, if I would have thought about that, you know. And so we just have to be reminders to good leadership, because they are human just as we are. And I'm really enjoying the 12 steps. So I just want to say, you know, thank you for just little reminders of why we are in the marriage. And, you know, and stay in the marriage. You know, when you talk about building relationships, as you was talking about earlier today, is that we've always had relationships. And one thing that Allah has given us personally is knowing how to keep the bonds of relationships. And one thing my mother used to always say, never burn a bridge that you may have to cross over. And so I've always thought about that. You know, I said, well, if I cut that tie over there, I won't be able to cross that bridge to them people anymore or that person anymore. So I've always been conscious of building strong relationships. And just like with yourself, Munir, I could call you right now if I have an issue. You know, I got your number. You know what I mean? And so it's a blessing to have each other, you know, across the country, you know, building relationships. And that's a mercy to be able to do that. And Allah Ta'ala has given us that Islamic community. You just got to know how to build the relationship in your own world. You can't always look outside your own self before you build that relationship. But praise be to Allah, we know how to build relationships, and we got relationships across the country. And we maintain them now for over 45 years, going into 50 years. And so I think, you know, it's individuals that decide what world they want to be in. And the world, Allah Ta'ala says, the earth is spacious. So you just have to have a mind to expand across and build relations across, and your own relationships inside of your home is most important with your family. I'm serious. I call my cousins and my family every week. If not every week, every other week. If not every other week, once a month. I got a pretty big family, but they hear from me. Why? I don't have to wait till they call me, because I'm building my relationship in my mind with them. And so then they pick it up, and then they start, and you teach people how to build relationships with you. And inshallah, it'll help them in their lifetime build relationships with others. So we should never stop building relationships and building bonds with one another. And as you said, in a marriage, you're constantly learning about each other. And every morning you wake up, you're different. You know, so I just wanted to just chime in on that. And I'm just enjoying. And I'll be back next Tuesday. Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. And, you know, we enjoy having you. We enjoy hearing from Philadelphia and see how things are going in that part of the country. All praises to Allah.
Real quick, this thought. We had a janazah today, and so we felt as though the person that did the janazah lecture to the – we had about 159 Muslims and maybe about 60 Muslims. But we felt as though the brother should have talked to the non-Muslims even just a little bit more, but he didn't. And so some of us was just a little upset because, oh, he should have just, you know. So one non-Muslim walked up to me, just to go and show you. She said, I've never been to a Muslim janazah before. This is my first time in the mosque. She said, I really enjoyed that. And that gave me a whole nother perspective of what we felt needed to happen. But what really happened, and that's what this goes to show you, Allah is in charge of the marriage. He's in charge of building relationships. And he built a relationship in her heart to come tell me that she enjoyed the janazah. So I was able to go back and tell the other sisters, well, now Muslim sister walked up to me and told me she enjoyed the janazah, and it wasn't even explained to her. But what was explained was enough for her to understand that it was a unique situation that she wanted to learn more about. So I'm saying that we just don't know what Allah is doing to people and how he's presenting this way of life, this deen to them.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
That's a handful. That was a lot. but alhamdulillah, shukran.
Alhamdulillah, that was just something. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. I'm going to chime out. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay. We have another caller in the queue. We're going to go to 914-434. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York.
Yes, sir, Brother Muhammad. Thank you for calling in. What's your comment this evening?
Yeah, I've seen this in most of the sister talking, but I just wanted to read from Muslim Journal, September the 2nd through the 8th, on page 3. Expressions of Village Voices. Bring back the village. This is by Ninat Marie. She says, sister, can I have your attentive ears? There's something I need you to hear. Our families used to help and look out for each other's children and neighborly needs. Now we just watch each other bleed. We are living the consequences of a no longer village. Our trust for each other has turned into rust. There used to be cohesiveness. Now, not so much. Instead, there's more disunity in our community.
Yeah.
But we are commanded to band together towards all that is good. Our Lord commanded this of us. So we should. We must remember this love for our children is an interest we all share together. Let's bring back community unity. It's time for us all to stick together. Do not wait until our children's blood are shattered. You know the old saying.
Okay.
It takes a bit. Right. So that's why I'm saying all sisters get this issue and read it. Sisters are appealing to the sisters to look for our children.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that with us this evening. Okay, and put that in the Muslim Journal and read that article in its entirety. So thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, wa alaikum assalam.
And one thing we must remember is that generality is not necessarily the reality. And many times we draw attention to issues that we see, but we can't say that this is the general rule across the board because there are sisters that are still looking out for other sisters' children. This is still happening, but it maybe used to be more visible and more of a practice in prior times. And that's something that, inshallah, if we're falling short on those areas, we can improve on. But those things do still happen. And there is a lot of positive work going on in the community life. So, Sister Bina, anything that you'd like to chime in on?
There's a lot that's been said. Yes, you are absolutely right, and we do need to focus on the positive that's going on. Just sitting here listening to the comments that were made, we can always look and point our fingers and say, well, you know, we should do this and we should do that, but that might just be someone's opinion at that particular time, how they're feeling, you know, the way that they are feeling at that moment, and they want to express that. They might have a hurt or something like that on them and need to express that. But there's so much positivity going on. There's a lot going on. I have to admit that I sometimes look and say, oh, this is not being done and that's not being done. And like Sister Rahima was saying, you know, from another perspective, you get that from somebody and they see so much. So it kind of just depends on where you're standing and what eyes you're looking through. But if we do it at the way Allah tells us, you know, about why don't we put the best spin on it? Why don't we, you know, look at it from the best angle that we could look at things? And inshallah, get in and help where we fit in. If we see something that's not always to our liking, then we should try to help that situation. In terms of people, our relatives, the way it was mentioned prior, I don't think we necessarily have to just quote Quran and say this is what the Prophet did, as much as we, peace and blessings be upon him, as we could just be that example. I know our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him. Everything he did, it was based on what he knew of our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and what Allah has asked us in our Quran to do, or how we should be. He did not say, well, Allah said this, Allah said that, subhanAllah ta'ala. He lived that. And that was one of the things that made him so special amongst all the people, that he did not go and he wasn't trying to proselytize people, but he was just living the life. He was living that life example. So inshallah, you know, that could be done. People see it all the time. I'm sure all of us have had impacts on our relatives when we were doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do and maybe didn't know it. We can be out in public all the time and people could see us. And if we're being that good, we're being that person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to be, then we're setting an example and people are noticing us. And I'm sure our relatives have noticed our behavior over the years. So, like you say, Allah is in control of this religion and Allah knows. So there were some, the information that you gave was very, it was excellent when it turned in terms of how things are perceived and how we should look at things. And inshallah, all the comments had a way of affecting me where I'm looking at things differently. So I've learned something here, and I appreciate what's been shared to help me have a different perspective when it comes to relationships, when it comes to how we should be and the like. So, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you for your thoughts and your comments. So I'm just going to check the board real quick. Okay, 914-434, please press 1 and go out of the queue so I can recognize you in case you wanted to come back in. All right, thank you so much. So we were talking about how to stay in a healthy relationship or how to keep Chapter 6, staying in healthy relationships. And one other thing that we should do to help stay in healthy relationships is continue to do the things that are making you healthier and healthier as a believing man or woman. You know, if you feel your salats are really helping you to the impact of your salat on your life, make more salat, you know. Call Allah into remembrance often. Do more of the things that are healing you. You know, many times we'll get a prescription from the doctor and we'll start to feel a little better and we say, okay, I'll stop taking this now. They advise us to take it until it's all gone, but, you know, in this case, Allah's prescription, we can't get enough of it. So we continue to partake of Allah's prescription for the human being, for the human soul. And we do more of those things. And as far as a relationship, and this one I think is very important that we don't want to lose sight of, there are two human beings, a male and a female, coming together. Each person has a life, a mind, an intellect, a heart, a soul. And Allah has turned each of those persons to a goal. Allah said he turns us to a goal. And it didn't say just men. He said he turns each of us to a goal. So, and each of us is going to be accountable for our deeds. And each of us is going to have our own record on the day of judgment. Saying all that to say, make sure that in a marriage, each person has a voice, that Shura Bainahum is present, and that each person is acknowledged in the relationship and their contribution in the relationship and in the marriage. Both people are working in the marriage. Both people are working to make the marriage a success. So always remember that when there's communication, always allow the door open. Well, what do you think about this, honey? You know, what are your thoughts on this? How will this impact us? Always have that type of communication and conversation in the relationship. And don't minimize the other person's presence in the relationship. Oh, I did this and this and that. You didn't have to know about that. It didn't affect you. We never take that stance. Okay, so true Shura Bainahum in relationship, and you're giving the other person the opportunity to safeguard themselves, you, and the relationship. They may see something you didn't see, and they're safeguarding you. Or they may see how something could affect them in a certain way. And they're safeguarding themselves. And if one or the other happens, it could damage the relationship. So now the relationship has been safeguarded. So true Shura Bainahum, open up, communicate, share, get the other person's perspective on situations where a decision has to be made in the married life, in the family life. And sometimes you might have to mull things over about what's happening in the community life to get the other person's perspective. So this is respecting person is also a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has given them tasks in this life, and one of those tasks is taking care of you. So honoring that there is an intellect, an insight, a soul present besides yours, and that they have a voice that needs to be heard, thoughts that need to be spoken, and feelings to share. So keeping a relationship healthy, a wonderful practice, Shura Bainahum. Caller in the queue, and we have 5 minutes, 4 minutes left in our program. We're going to 347-336. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Munira. I'm coming to the show here at the end. I'm joining at a later time. I know our time is passing, but you brought a question to my mind in the very deep and sensitive advice that you're sharing now. And it took me back. I wanted to ask you, what is the relationship between this approach that you're recommending and what Allah says, that he created us from one soul, and that marriage is only 50% of a deen, and the fact that no matter how whole we may feel, is it true that we are only 50% of what needs to be brought to the table?
Well, alhamdulillah. Now, that's, I have 3 minutes left. I won't do that answer justice. But we're going to make a note on this, and we're going to address this at the top of the hour next week, inshallah, so we can really drill down on this question, because it's a very pertinent question and insight that you're sharing and pointing out. So we will get to that next week, and I will and we'll talk about it first thing on next week's program. Okay.
Thank you so much.
So thank you for giving us some food for thought and a starting point for our next program. Much appreciated.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. All right, Sister Bina, any final thoughts for you, Sister Bina?
No final thoughts. Just alhamdulillah for all that was shared and all those who participated in the conversation. And we pray that whatever good we were able to share, it was from Allah, and what might not have been true or helpful, that was from us, and we pray Allah forgive us and help us and bless us with the knowledge to be able to get the right information.
Alhamdulillah, and ditto from me. It's what Sister Bina said. All praise is due to Allah. And I would like to invite the radio audience to listen to this program tomorrow morning.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up our program this evening, and I pray that we have presented something that is useful and beneficial to the radio audience this evening. And we'll pick up right here where we're ending off at next week on next week's show. So come back with us next week and bring a friend, inshallah. Until then, we're going to let Brother Wali take us out with the Fearing Thee.
Made him love enough to go.
talk deceiving. Her brought him to me. Never count him out. Faith went over down. Poor lost sinners. Poor squires are winning. Fearing thee. What made him brave enough to go. Loving thee. Loving thee. What made him brave enough to go. Fearing thee. What made him brave enough to go out and face the world?
Brave enough to face the world.
A countryman dear came up from the rear.
Loving
thee. Made his home on the sweet earth down here.
Fearing thee.
Never caught him up. Things went over down. Firmly named him. Making a life for thee. Oh, 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 yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
A countryman dear came up from the rear.
Loving thee.
Made his home on the sweet earth down here. Made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allah, in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah. So we thank you again for being here with us this evening. And until next week, we'll leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. And we pray Allah blesses us all with a very peaceful and productive week ahead. Look forward to being back with you next Tuesday. Sister Bina and I invite you to return and bring a friend. Insha'Allah. Assalamu alaikum.